Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. Today's podcast is another interview session and is sponsored by EEPN, Every.Black Entrepreneur Podcasting Network. And today, I'm so happy to have Lou Everett with us.
Hey, Bill.
And he's going to come to us and tell us about his business pursuits. And I heard Lou a couple of times, at least, and it was very inspirational. And I'm sure he has a lot of beneficial things to say, especially as it relates to entrepreneurs and things that we can do to improve our business. And so, Lou, first of all, tell us about yourself and your business, and then you can go right into a description of that for our listening audience.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you, Bill, for having us on. With the Lou Everett Group is the name of our company, and our focus is mainly to transform individual lives, but by doing that through leadership training and being able to coach individuals on the leadership track. The purpose for that, again, I guess it's mainly, you saw we speak, so we speak, we train, we assess behavior, we do human behavioral analysis as well using the Maxwell Disk method, and we utilize those opportunities to be able to develop an individual as well as teams and companies to better grow on the leadership side. That's really what we do. Ultimately, our focus is helping understand individuals and how they learn, how they behave, and ways that we can train and teach them. Now, about our business, how what we do, is that's one of the other questions I believe you asked, is how did we get started in this, right? Well, and that's a question that was asked to me multiple times. Like, how did you get started in speaking? How did you get started in being able to stand up in front of people and talk? And that really started when I was 12 years old, believe it or not. And if I remember correctly, we were at your book signing, and you had asked me this question. Right. You had said, how did you get started in this? And that kind of opened up a can of worms. Did you mind if I go into that?
No problem at all.
Awesome. Well, it did start at 12. My parents had joined a faith when I was around about 10 years old. And one of the things in that faith that they taught us was how to get up in front and speak to people, how to reach people, how to reach their hearts, how to identify with individuals in the congregation. And so I was being trained and taught through a theocratic ministry school setting on how to use gestures, how to use inflection in your voice, how to reach people's hearts based on topics. I'm very fortunate to actually have that experience, and I was trained through that experience up till my 20s, speaking in front of individuals at 150 to 200 people, 300 people. And then as I got older and spoke in assemblies and in larger congregations of thousands of people. So it was very inspiring for me to learn as I went through that process. So that really was my initial calling, understanding this is really what I wanted to do. I really wanted to be able to speak and reach people by my speaking. Not just get up and motivate, but really help people transform and change. I'm a firm believer that motivation is temporary, but transformation and empowerment is a lifetime. It's something that lasts a lot longer than motivating. And you can get up this morning and read a poem, right, or read a motivational quote and feel, oh, man, I'm really inspired by that. But what happens? Mm-hmm. By 12 o'clock, lunchtime rolls around and things have happened throughout the day, and all of a sudden we're starting to drag again, right? We're starting to feel like, well, what's going to get me going? What's going to really make this happen long term? Well, that's where we come in. That's where I come in. I believe that when you empower someone, it transforms their mind. It transforms who they are. So they then in turn can then begin to motivate themselves naturally over time. And that needs to happen at the business level. That's the reality of it. You know, I've had experiences from middle management. I've worked in the executive level management. And the fact of the matter is when you have people that you manage and that you lead, you have a responsibility for people. You have a responsibility to influence them and not necessarily direct them all the time. Influence is big different, right? There's a difference between influence and between that and maybe doing it more on a positional side. As a positional leader, you are dictating. We're telling people what to do, how to do it. But when you influence them, they really want to follow you, don't they? I mean, that's really what it's all about, is influencing people. And ideally, if we can do that individually, not just the business level, but individually, what ends up happening is we influence people individually, and then we can change them, and we can then change a community, then we can change a city, then we can change a state, then we can transform a country. And ideally, that is really where our mission is on transforming.
I'm going to let you continue because I'm being inspired right now listening to you. But as I may have indicated, this show is all about inspiration. And you mentioned a couple of things, motivation and transformation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put you on the spot, but would you relate both of these to the idea or the concept of inspiration? Is there a difference? Are they pretty much the same, one and the same, or what?
Sure. Now, again, this is my opinion, right? So, but I believe that they're different. However, I also believe that you need one for the other. And motivation is something that can be done, like we said before. You can read something and feel motivated, but you can also read something and feel inspired, which is something deeper, almost spiritual. You know, it's always something that really kind of drives you to believe something long term, or drives you to move towards a different direction. But motivation can do the same thing, but it's more of a temporary situation, as opposed to being inspired to do something of change. It's something that's deeper. I believe that it's something that happens almost externally, something that is innate within each one of us, inspiration. But that inspiration is what motivates us or drives us to a certain end or to a certain point. I'm not sure if that makes any sense at all, but I believe that they go hand in hand but are very different in capacity.
But you know, people listen to a good speech, to a good sermon, and they certainly may be inspired or they may even be motivated. But I think the problem much of the time is people putting into practice, mm-hmm. implementing right. the things that they hear. They very may be true. Motivated and they may be stimulated, and we could use a lot of other words, but mm-hmm. the bottom line in terms of being successful in whatever endeavor you might be in is actually implementing the things that that you hear. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely would. I think that we can be motivated and inspired by multiple things, right? I mean, I've been motivated to go out and buy a Porsche, but I've not done that because, first of all, I can't afford a Porsche, right? I've been motivated by reading people to become a billionaire. I'm not a billionaire, but you're right. It's about what steps do we take to get there? What steps we take to get there? That is ultimately what it comes down to. And here's something to consider and think about when it comes to that. We've all been programmed, right? We've all been programmed throughout our life. And I'm going to say something to you, Bill, and I want you to complete my sentence because I know you've heard this, so complete it for me. Money doesn't grow on
trees.
Ah, isn't that something? And I knew that too, and I think everybody that's listening knows that phrase because we've been programmed to believe that it can't be affordable. We can't afford it. We can't do certain things. And there's multiple phrases we can use that identify our programming. You're not good enough. You're not cut out for that. These are things that we've all heard because of that programming that's in our mind. So it goes right into what are we doing when we're motivated or inspired? Are we making the change?
Well, it points to the fact as well as to the kind of people who you're around. And if you're around the kind of people that will motivate and inspire, then at least you're on first base, so to speak. You have a better chance of following through and acting on what you might mm-hmm. hear. But still, again, you have to have something, I believe, to give you kind of like a kick up the runt, a lump, you might say, and to get you started. Otherwise, you might simply stay in bed an extra hour instead of getting up and doing what you what you're supposed to do, and or maybe not taking that course that you really know you should take. So, in other words, again, implementation is the key to success. You listen, and what you might be listening to could be very, very, again, inspirational and motivational, but you have to take that next step, as you indicated.
It's 100% right, and I'm going to refer to John Maxwell as one of my mentors, and as part of the John Maxwell team as well, going through some of that training. One of the books he's written, 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, and it points right to what you're talking about, Bill, that there are certain laws that we really need to follow to become successful. One of those laws that you mentioned was the law of environment. The law of environment really is very specific, and it dictates in order for us to make a change towards from being motivated or inspired to change and action, one of those things that needs to change is our environment and how the environment truly impacts our progress towards the reach of where our potential fully is. And that's just one of them, amongst others, being a law of awareness, which you went and saw us speak at in Fuqua Arena there. You saw us speak on the law of awareness, which comes from the same book. That law of awareness, being aware that we do need to change. So your point is spot on. Environment being one of those things that needs to make we need to make an adaptation or change to in order to really fully reach our potential. We can only be, what is that? What is the phrase there? Jim Rohn says that we are the average of the five people we spend the most of our time with. Right? Do you really want to be that average? That's something that we got to think about. Do you really want to be the average of those five people?
But you know, what you're saying too is that change is something that a lot of us don't want to experience. In other words, we want to remain in our comfort zone, especially if we're familiar with that, and that could keep us from benefiting from whatever change that might occur that would eventually help us. We have a book challenge in my podcast series, and I'm imploring my listeners to write a book, and some of them, I believe, are writing. Many of them probably are not, but my experience is that one of the most difficult things for people to do is to get started. And once you get started, then it's like the law of inertia. It will propel you forward. But getting started is really the key.
Right.
Well, Lou, before we get too far, what is your contact information? And you can give this again before the end of the program so people who are listening can talk to you further about what we're talking about.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the best way to reach us is on our website, www.loueverettgroup.com, L-O-U, Everett, E-V-E-R-E-T-T, group, G-R-O-U-P.com. You go there, there's some content on there. There's a way to reach us on there and what it is that we're up to currently, our calendar, where you can see us speak at no cost and things like that. You can also reach me directly via email, and that's lou@loueverettgroup.com. And we're very willing and open to talk to anybody to see what we can do to help.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we're going to come back and finish the program, and I'll talk to you further about your business.
That sounds great. Thanks, Bill.
Great. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We have Lou Everett with us from the Lou Everett Group, and he's going to tell us more about what he's been doing.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. I know you earlier before we went on break, you were talking about, you hit the topic, and something I want to kind of stretch on a little bit here, no pun intended, is you were talking about how a lot of times it's about getting started. Right, it's we get motivated, we get inspired, and you have a lot of your listeners here that are with us that are some of them have started writing, as you've been encouraging them to do, and then some have not really gotten that because I don't know how to get started, right? And it's a matter of just getting started, just doing it. And I'm going to break this down into a couple of things. I'm feeling called to talk about this, so I'm going to do that. One of the things that I'm going to capitalize on, we were talking about the 15 invaluable laws of growth. And again, this is something that Sherry and I, we do masterminds. These are virtual mastermind groups that we do that anybody can join. So look at our calendar on our website for that. We continuously run these. And right now we're on the 15 invaluable laws of growth. One of those laws, we mentioned a couple of them, but one of them that matches exactly what you're talking about is called the law of the rubber band. That discomfort that we feel about making the change that we really want to make. You know, one of the things recently for me, and I'll kind of give you a story about this. I've always been a night owl, right? I've always liked to stay up late at night, and whether I watch television or when I write music. And I always thought that was the reason I was a night owl, because that's where I'm creative. That's what I always thought, right? That's when I'm the most creative. And I was challenged, one of my mentors challenged me to relook at that and revisit if that's really when I'm the most creative. Do I really accomplish what I think I'm accomplishing late at night? And when I really looked at that, I really wasn't. I wasn't accomplishing what I thought I was. I would come up with these clever ideas, and then the next day, because I was up so late, I couldn't get out of bed until I felt like getting out of bed, or when I was right 5 minutes before I had to get out of bed, I'd get out of bed, and then would end up finding out that those thoughts and those ideas that I had in my mind, nothing ever happened with those. I wasn't putting anything into practice, anything into action. And he says, well, let's go ahead and make a change. Why don't you then reverse that? And why don't you get up early in the morning instead? And of course, I said, no way. Are you kidding me? There's no way I'm going to get up early in the morning. I can't get up that early. He even suggested I get up at 5:30 in the morning. I thought he was crazy, you know? But I put that to practice. I says, you know, I'm not getting anywhere anyway with what I'm doing. Let's try something new. The law of the rubber band talks about being stretched. Stretched beyond our comfort level. Because that is where change begins and happens, when we're stretched. So I began to do that. And I'm finding now, more and more, that I'm now able to accomplish the thoughts and the ideas that I had the day before or that morning. So it's working for me now. Now, I'm not saying you all have to get up early in the morning. But wherever you're the most creative, and you may have to ask your coach, your mentor, somebody you look up to, when they believe maybe you're the most creative, and ask you some questions to determine that, that is what needs to be stretched. Especially if you're writing right now or trying to get started. Stretch beyond what you believe you can do. Sometimes you have to ask. Sometimes you got to, you know, whether it's asking a mentor, a coach, or someone that's close to you that's honest with you, that's what the law of the rubber band states. Stretch beyond what's abnormal for you so that you then can grow.
But you know, Lou, I taught college for a number of years, and there were times when I was in the classroom, mm-hmm. and went about my teaching, and one of the things I indicated to the students was that doing what you're supposed to do, studying the lesson, studying the assignment, completing the assignment, listening in class, asking questions about things that you don't understand, these kinds of things will be probably the most difficult things that you will ever do, is what I mentioned to them. And it was only the very good students, of course, who did some of those things. Unfortunately, even some of the better students didn't do everything that they were supposed to have done. But the point is that in many cases, they didn't want to stretch because of a number of reasons. And, of course, excuses is a bad word in education because – but anyway, I just wanted to mention that as far as – stretching and accomplishing what you could accomplish. And in my case, in many times, students didn't accomplish what they could have accomplished in terms of getting a good grade, for example, because for one reason or another, they weren't willing to stretch. And you can apply this to business as well.
I agree 100%. You know, because it starts personally, doesn't it? I mean, it starts our personal growth. That's where it starts before our professional growth can also grow. We've got to start there. And me and you have a little connection here because I also come from the teaching background, and I taught adult learners. And one of the things we used a lot as an I use a lot as an analogy is understanding that you may not know how to grow next, and it's okay because somebody else does know how to help you grow to the next level. It's a matter of helping, asking for help, taking the step to say, you know, I don't really know what I need to do to get here, but I know I want to get there, and be open to it. And like you said, be willing to stretch, be willing to grow. That's a big part of it. You know, understanding that we have been programmed. Okay, we have, all of us have different ways that we've been programmed throughout our life to believe that's keeping us from reaching that full potential. The law of the lid, right? And saying we're only can go so high. So what I will say is this, and this is something that I do in groups and in sometimes when we're out, and I'll have everybody raise their hands, right? So I say, everybody raise your hands. And you know what will happen? Everybody's going to raise their hands. And I'll say, raise them higher. And they'll raise them higher. Even higher. Keep going. Keep hoeing, right? And what ends up happening is everybody raises their hands so high, and they look at me, and they all start laughing because they can't go any higher with their arms raised. And then I look at them and I say, why are you not standing up? Why aren't you standing on your chair, on your table? Because you see what you're doing right now is you are convinced that your hand can only go so high. And all you've got to do to change that is move.
That's a good point. Good point. You know, Lou, next week we're going to be talking with your wife, your partner, mm-hmm. in your business pursuits about faith. And I don't want you to get away without having your input as far as how faith has benefited you in business. And could you address that for a few minutes before you leave?
No, thank you for asking that, Bill, because that is a big part of who I am and who we are. Sherry's story, as when she tells that story, is definitely personal for her, impacted me as well. But what I will tell you is that there's something that we all need. A lot of times we don't realize we need it. It's that feeling, that empty space that sometimes we're not too sure what to do with. And I've been through quite a bit. My story is posted out on our website. Throughout our life, we all have been through things. And it's all a matter of understanding where your faith fits in. Because you see, faithfulness and having a faith in God and a faith in something that's bigger than we are is what drives and directs us if we let it. I heard there is one of my favorite pastors. Matter of fact, John Maxwell is also a pastor, still is a pastor, and one of my favorites. There's another gentleman that I watch occasionally. And he was given this sermon on transition and understanding that when we're in transition and when we're uncomfortable and we know we're going the direction we want to go to follow our dreams, to follow our passions, to follow our purpose, and when it begins to get challenging and more difficult and when it gets hard, that is when the miracle happens in transition. Miracles happen in transition. Right now, we're all in transition, I think in all some sort of aspect of our life. But it's important for me, and it's been important for me to fully understand that if I do not put my faith as a priority, I cannot treat other people the way that my purpose intended it to be, and that is to serve people and to give people what it is that they need to help them serve their purpose. And I can't do that without my faith. I can't do that without fully understanding that miracles happen in transition.
You know, it's kind of interesting. You mentioned this to me the other day about how John Maxwell was a pastor. And, of course, I knew of him as a motivational speaker, but I did not know that he was a minister. And there is a tie between spiritual truths and business success.
Yes.
So that's one reason why he was so successful, I believe, and that was because he integrated spiritual truths into his business pursuits.
I agree.
And I'm sure you would agree with that.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And he's very open about that, about the fact that that is what taught him. You know, matter of fact, John Maxwell has, and this was one of the books I wanted for so long, he has what's called the Maxwell Leadership Bible. He's taken every translation, virtually every every translation of the Bible, and he's taken in every chapter, every parts of the Bible, and put a section on leadership, on how those scriptures can affect you as a leader and how that affects you as a leader. And he, every time he speaks, he says, I believe that every single thing that a person can learn about leadership is in the Bible. And that is 100% fact. Everything you want to learn about leadership is in the Bible. And that's something I had to, it took me a long time to learn and realize. And so, yes, I agree with you. John and myself, he is my mentor, so obviously now I feel the same way, that everything rises and falls with leadership.
And by leadership, you're not just talking about business.
That's right.
In terms of higher profile mm-hmm. kinds of professions,
right.
But even more mundane mm-hmm. pursuits like being a homemaker, for example,
right?
Caring for your grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things are extremely important
mm-hmm.
As you support those who may be more visible in their business pursuits.
Yeah, I agree. And that is right. And thanks for pointing that out, Bill. Using the word leadership or leader entails everything that we do. You know, I was speaking at a networking event, and afterwards I had a mother come up to me and says, you know, what you said really impacted my view on how I'm communicating with my son. I'm realizing that I'm asking him to do things that I'm not doing. And that really, and that's what leadership is. So yeah, you're right. When we talk about leadership, it's us as people. Right, it's not we're convinced that when we use the word leader, that it's a positional structure. Again, the programming that returns back into our mind. It is not a positional piece. Leadership is all about influence and influencing people and everything that we do.
Well, that's great. We're about out of time, Lou, and we're so happy that you joined us today on Storytelling Time. Quite often we have people being interviewed, and you provide a lot of inspiration to our listeners. You can give your contact information again for those individuals who might want to contact you. But before you do that, do you have anything else that you want to add to what you've already said?
Just to encourage everybody to use their influence on purpose in their life and their personal life. And understand that you have a purpose, and your purpose matters. That is absolutely something we need to take home, and never hide your vision. Live your purpose, and hold your image.
Great, great. Well, purpose is a magical word.
Mm.
It really is, because as long as we have a purpose, it gives us motivation to continue. Mm-hmm. We have something to look to. So
that's, right.
That's certainly true, Will. Right. Lou, again, it was good having you with us today. And at some time in the future, we'd like for you to come back, because I'm sure you have not or did not exhaust all the things that you could have said in this interview, in this 25 or 30 minutes. So, and of course, we look forward to having your wife next week as well.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, Bill. And it was always a joy to be a part of what you have going on. You would definitely have a lot of good things going on, and thank you for allowing me to be here to be a part of that.
And we'd like to thank our listeners as well. And as usual, just remember, regardless of what you might be going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep in mind there's always more. More good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.